Welcome. Today we are reflecting on Brother Tom's message from Sunday, Authentic Fruit. It really felt like a call to stop and, you know, genuinely evaluate our spiritual walk.
Absolutely. It felt critical, actually, like a needed shortcut for that kind of self-evaluation, especially living in a world that's always pushing us to just blend in.
And he started right off with that prayer request, didn't he? Not just asking us to listen, but to be ready to apply it.
Yeah, willing to apply the words, glorify God, and really make an effort to block out all the things of the world. That set the tone.
It did. The core question being, is my faith right now producing actual verifiable fruit? Like, is it real?
Exactly. Not just going through the motions. And that distinction between hearing and doing is huge when you're talking about fruit.
For sure. Brother Tom laid that groundwork, you know, reminding us that all through Scripture, the Lord talks about fruit as the evidence of life. Simple as that.
A living tree bears fruit. A dead one doesn't. It's a pretty clear metaphor.
It is. But that's where we often, well, we complicate it or maybe oversimplify it the wrong way.
Right. We turn it into a checklist, like doing a pre-trip inspection on a truck or something.
Ah, yeah. You pull out Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Or maybe the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. And we look at the list and go, okay, where am I falling short?
My patience metric is low this week. Gotta manufacture some more. Or need to project more joy, even if I don't feel it. It becomes mechanical.
And Brother Tom was really clear that this is, well, it's a fatal flaw in our thinking. That whole mechanical approach, he said, it negates the essence of what fruit really is.
Because you can't build life, can you? Fruit is organic. It grows. It's not assembled.
You nailed it. It's spiritual, not industrial. We can't just will it into existence.
So if our own effort isn't the source, what is? He pointed us straight back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16.
Yes, the core command. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the engine.
The fruit is spiritual. It has to be produced by the Spirit. It's a result, not an input.
Right. It flows from that relationship. If you're walking in the Spirit, focus there, the fruit sort of happens.
Yeah.
And you won't give in to the fleshly desires nearly as much.
Which also explains that struggle Paul talks about so honestly in Romans 7, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. The good I want to do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep doing.
It's that internal battle. But the battle itself shows there's life, right? The Spirit fighting the flesh.
Exactly. If you were spiritually dead, you wouldn't even feel the fight. But trying to win it by sheer willpower, well, that's where it chafes.
Like an ill-fitting yoke, which reminds me of that point he made about kindness.
Oh, I loved that detail from Matthew 11:30.
Where Jesus says, his yoke is easy.
And the word for easy there can also mean kind. A kind yoke, one that's perfectly fitted, tailored to you so it doesn't rub you raw.
So spiritual kindness isn't this heavy burden we force ourselves to carry. It's more like the right response. Fitted to the moment by the Spirit.
Perfectly put. It fits because he directs it.
Yeah.
If we try to do it ourselves, it's just awkward and painful. It's not authentic.
And that lack of authenticity, that attempt to perform or imitate, leads right into the second big part of his message.
Right. The danger of imitation, of self-delusion, illustrated by that incredible story in Acts 19.
The seven sons of Sceva. We should probably set the scene for the listener a bit.
Good idea. We're in Ephesus. Think major city, very Greek. Lots of pagan worship, magic, mysticism.
A real hub for, well, charlatans and traveling exorcists alongside genuine spiritual activity.
Exactly. And into this mix, God is doing unusual miracles through Paul. Really extraordinary stuff.
Like handkerchiefs or aprons Paul had touched healing people. God's power is on full display, making Paul a real problem for the, you know, the kingdom of darkness there.
Huge problem. And then these guys show up, the seven sons of Sceva. Itinerant Jewish exorcists.
Opportunists, really. They see Paul's success. Maybe their own methods weren't working so well.
And they decide to just sort of co-opt his power source. They try using the name of Jesus like it's just another magical formula.
Saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. It's amazing, isn't it? Trying to use the power without the relationship.
It's a profound delusion. Thinking they could just invoke the name and get the results, authenticate themselves.
Then the response from the evil spirit, it's almost darkly funny, but chilling.
It really is. The demon speaks through the man and says, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?
Wow. Talk about putting things in perspective. The demon recognizes Christ's authority, and it recognizes Paul as a genuine threat because he's connected to that authority.
But these guys, nothing. utter contempt. The demon saw right through their act.
And didn't just see through it, acted on it. The possessed man jumps on them, all seven of them.
Overpowers them completely. They run out of the house naked and wounded.
As Brother Tom put it, if you leave a spiritual fight naked and wounded, you definitely lost. Badly.
No question. And the takeaway for us is just so clear, isn't it? Trying to draw power or produce fruit from the Lord without actually having the Lord living in your heart, it's just delusion.
You're powerless. Trying the formula without the person, stark warning.
Very stark. You can't fake it. You can't borrow it.
So if we can't manufacture it and we can't imitate it, where does this authentic fruit actually come from? How does it grow?
And that led into the final part of the message, which was deeply personal. The furnace of chastening.
Yeah, this part was intense, showing that real fruit often grows best under pressure in the fire.
He shared how just before Pastor Steve asked him to teach, he felt like he was doing pretty well spiritually.
Right. He mentioned training, reading the word, fellowship. Felt like he was in a good place, comfortable.
Maybe a bit self-assured even, checking the boxes like we talked about.
And that's often when God decides to step in, isn't it?
Seems like it. He described getting that call July 17th about his son Chase's accident. The initial news about the fingers was bad enough.
Terrible. But then, the later discovery. The fractures in the vertebrae. That shifted everything.
Absolutely. From a manageable crisis to something terrifyingly vulnerable. And what followed, he realized, was God intentionally keeping him off balance.
The waiting for the MRI, the unexpected need for major surgery, that huge $86,000 bill negotiation.
Even that bizarre detail of the ADOT organ donor pamphlet arriving in his office mail right then. He felt God was deliberately thwarting his attempts to calculate, to plan, to control.
Pulling the rug out from under his feet every time he tried to stand on his own understanding. Forcing him back to just dependence.
Total dependence. And that was the crucible. That vulnerable, uncomfortable place was where God wanted him so he could bear authentic fruit.
He realized he couldn't just borrow peace from his wife or borrow joy from the people praying. It had to be his fruit, grown in him by the Spirit, right there in the fire.
Yes. These things aren't transferable commodities. They were specific personal works of the Spirit in response to trial. They can't be faked or borrowed.
It really changes how you think about spiritual success. We look at someone like Paul and maybe admire the big miracle.
Signs and wonders, yeah.
But Brother Tom helped us see Paul's real fruit, the truly authentic stuff, was his ability to thrive through the suffering.
Absolutely. The imprisonments, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the stoning, that constant pressure and anxiety for the churches.
And yet, he writes in Philippians 4, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
He's not talking about winning the lottery there. He's talking about having strength when he has plenty and having strength when he has nothing.
Yeah.
In chains or free.
That contentment, that endurance, that's the authentic fruit. The gold, silver, precious stones that survive the fire.
Exactly. It connects right back to 1 Corinthians 3, doesn't it? Building with materials that last, not the wood, hay, and straw of our own efforts or fleshly comforts. Because the fire will come to test the work.
It always does, eventually. So bringing this right to us, to you listening today, we have to engage in this kind of self-reflection regularly.
Mm-hmm. If we don't let the Spirit convict us in the small things, day to day, pride just creeps in. It blinds us.
We convince ourselves we're okay because maybe the big fire hasn't hit yet.
Pride is so sneaky, it whispers, you're doing all right, better than most. But Brother Tom's reminder from his old baseball coach was such a perfect analogy for God's love and chastening.
Oh, yeah, that was powerful. The coach saying, you think you're in trouble when I'm yelling at you. You need to worry when I stop.
That's a truth bomb, isn't it? If God is actively working on you, refining you, putting you in tough spots that force you to depend on him, that's evidence of his love.
It's when he leaves you alone in your comfort, when he lets you get away with posting. That's when you should be concerned.
Which leads right to that final, really challenging question Brother Tom left us with, picking up on something Pastor Steve has asked. Are you facing any resistance? Are you being persecuted? Or are you just getting along fine in this world?
Ugh. That's a tough one to sit with. If your faith isn't challenging the darkness around you at all.
If you fit in so perfectly that the world doesn't even notice you or mind you, then maybe it's time for a serious look in the mirror. Because authentic faith, authentic fruit, will create friction.
God didn't save us just to keep us comfortable and hidden. He puts us out there front and center to serve him.
But that service, that fruit bearing, it requires humility. It requires being on our knees, asking the Spirit to show us where we're still relying on ourselves, where we're missing the mark.
And the encouragement is, God is faithful. He has it all under control. If we'll just give him the control, if we'll submit to the process, even the fiery parts.
Trusting that he's growing something authentic in us through it all.
A really crucial message. Thanks for joining us for this reflection. We hope you carry that challenge with you. What kind of fruit is your life producing today? Is it authentic?